The world is full of magic and wonder, if you know where to look. And I'm obsessed with looking for it. I'm Simon Sinek, and I host a podcast called A Bit of Optimism. Each week, I have a short conversation with someone who inspires me or teaches me something about life, leadership, and other curious things. I hope you'll join me on the journey. Listen to A Bit of Optimism on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's take a moment to breathe. Deep inhale. Extend your spine. Remain focused on what you're doing. If safe to do so, exhale slowly, leaning to one side. Inhale back to center. If safe to do so, exhale slowly to the opposite side. Find mental health resources at loveyourmindtoday.org. This message is brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ed Council.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all. Every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the insights and data you need to grow. iHeartMedia is your access company. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.
Hello, theater kids. It's your Broadway buddy, Ben Cameron, back with another episode of the Broadway Cast with iHeartRadio Broadway. On today's episode, we are genuflecting before the new Queens of Broadway. Yep, the recently crowned cast of Six joins us for an exciting conversation and maybe, just maybe, a little bit of a mini concert. You're welcome. If you haven't seen Six yet, I 10 out of 10 recommend you get to a production ASAP with two national tours, Broadway, a UK production, UK tours, and cruise ships. You can get to a Six. Do yourself the favor. Six has turned what it means to be a musical completely on its ear. Is it a full-blown pop concert? Is it a musical? Is it a vocal pyrotechnic diva battle for the ages? The answer is yes to all of it. I got to see the show recently with the new cast, and I was blown away. I was the guy shouting, "Sing, bitch!" At the top of my lungs and dancing in my seat, which, for the record, is highly encouraged if you're seeing Six. What struck me the most about this conversation we had is just how many elements are at play for these actresses. It's hard. It's hard, detailed work that they make look so, so effortless and so, so fun. We get into the audition process, rehearsals, and making the show your own, as well as their musical influences and obsessions. If you don't leave the theater pumped and singing at Six, I don't know what to tell you. Go get your pulse checked, because you may be dead. So let's say all hail to the new queendom. Bree Jackson is Catherine of Aragon. Brennan Lark is Catherine Parr. And Carrie Renee Fuller is Jane Seymour, who, incidentally, if you're in New York City, has a concert coming up of her music in New York City at the Cutting Room on November 8th at 7 p.m. There's going to be some rock and roll and some originals, so as an opportunity to support your queendom as well. We'll talk about that a little bit more in the episode as well. So make sure you do that. All right, before we get into the Hall of the Monarchy, I want to remind you to follow us on social media at The Broadway Cast. You can hit me up at Ben Does Broadway on all platforms. Make sure you subscribe to the show, rate us, review us, share us with your friends, and if you would like to support us even further and get exclusive content that is made solely and only for you, by all means, join our Patreon family. You can click the link in the liner notes and do that. We would love it. All right, it's time to meet the queens. Let's go on with the show. And here we are, my good friends. The queens are in the building. We've got one half, 50% of the queens. This is the new monarchy of Broadway. The queens are in the house, and of course I'm talking about my pal Bree Jackson, the new Catherine of Aragon.
What's up, y'all?
Hi, Bree.
Hey.
We were just talking before we pushed play, or record, as it were, on this, that you kept this secret real good from me. You told me on an Insta DM that something fun was coming, and you said specifically, and I think you're going to like it. And I want you to know that I do.
I really did. And it was very hard to, because I'm like, Bendy, you know everybody and everything.
Sure.
So it was literally like, I was like, the fact that he doesn't know means that, wow, this has done a really good job of keeping it quiet.
That it's working. I wonder what's on the, like, what's the threat that you're given contractually if you do tell? Like, what is it like stocks in Times Square or
honestly, now that I think about it, I don't know what it is because it is visceral for me to the point that my family now, I've been doing this for professionally for 11 years now. My family to this day knows that if I say you cannot say anything, they feel like it's like under pain of death.
Yeah.
They ask me every time they talk to me after I've told them a new casting. They're like, so am I allowed to talk about it now? And it's like, no, not yet. Like my family, I've trained them to an extent. But come to think of it, I don't really know what I think
will happen
to me if it gets
I'm
going to
go with straight up beheading. I feel like it's on theme. I feel like you could put that in the contract and everyone's going to still do the job.
Yeah, I told everyone.
Did you blab?
I don't post on social media anyways, so I just told the people, and I'm like, just don't post it anywhere.
Just don't post it, but you can talk about it at home.
Yeah, I don't care.
That's Carrie Renee Fuller, everybody, by the way, who's Broadway's new Jane Seymour, the only one he truly loved. Rude. Hi. So today we're going to talk, Carrie and I were discussing, we're going to talk all politics and social media all day.
Yes, please. Cancel me.
We're going to see how many cancel a queen is the game today on the show.
Wait, I think you
divorced, beheaded.
Canceled. Oh my gosh, that's the worst one. Behead me first.
I'm going to the guillotine.
You're going to the guillotine? Who said that? Oh my gosh, it's Brennan Lark.
Hello.
She's the survivor, Catherine Parr, rounding out our queendom today. Yeah. It's fun. This is fun for me because these are faces I know and love, and we've definitely... A lot of us have frolicked on the gay beaches of Fire Island together and just couldn't make it happen this year because we had to be in six.
That's literally, that's why the DMs, because I was supposed to come to Fire Island and I couldn't because of this.
Something fun was happening.
It's so true.
How long did you sit on the news, Brennan?
I think about, am I making this up, almost 2 months?
2 months. That's a long time to sit on that.
Yeah, and were you sworn to secrecy?
Were you golden? Did you stay quiet or did you tell a select few?
I have my core five.
She posted on her Finsta.
On her Finsta.
I do have my Finsta. Carrie. Tell everyone.
Oh, now they're scrolling and trolling and trying to find that Finsta. I don't know what it is.
No, that my lips are sealed on that one. But yeah, I had my core ones that knew.
You have to, because otherwise I feel like if stress causes us sickness and stress like puts us in a grave early. Yeah.
I also can't.
You got to let that out.
My friends know when I'm keeping something from them.
They can tell that your aura changes.
Yeah.
She's not being herself. let me ask you this. So it's pretty intimate when you're in a cast this small and where everybody's the star of the show equally. You get pretty close. But I want to know, before you got on stage with six, did your lives intersect before? Did we know each other before?
Carrie and I had like a Les Mis connection.
Yeah.
Aha. Uh-huh.
But I really never actually met you. I just knew of you.
No, I only knew of you as well because I had heard, I don't know if this was true, you never know, but my agents were like, it's between you and one other woman for Eponine. And I was like, fucking great. Let's go.
Then
I obviously didn't book that. And so I was like, who's this bitch? And then, no, I'm just kidding. No, I went to go see the show. I went to go see my friend, Kyle Jean-Baptiste, who we went to college together. We were in the same class. And I remember going and seeing the show and I got to see Miss Beautiful Brennan.
Aww,
and I was like, and it actually, it worked out obviously for the best, but I've known of you. But we didn't meet in person, I don't think, until Broadway Sings.
Yeah, we did like a Broadway Sings together.
Oh, fun.
Like several years later.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, we know each other kind of like peripherally through
Kyle.
That's
the most real connection ever, though. That's like, this bitch beat me out for a job once.
She did.
She doesn't know it, but I know it.
She's done many a thing, so I'm not worried about Carrie.
No one's worried about Carrie.
Everyone's
path. What about Bree? Did we know Bree?
No, actually, here's the funny thing. We have 6 degrees of separation.
We totally do.
Very, very heavily. Carrie and I have the same agents.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
So that's really cool.
That's cool, right? Didn't you guys go to the same?
No. We have the same agent. So that was always funny because literally my agent was like, yeah, we already have someone coming in who's been there and everything. And I was like, oh, who? And he was like, oh, it's Carrie. And I was like, okay, great, cool. And then I knew about Brennan because we were doing Dreamgirls internationally at the same time. She was doing it in London.
Which I saw her in London. That's where we met. Yes.
And I was doing it in Korea, and we were sending in tapes for the next rounds for you all. While we were doing, literally, yeah, I filmed a tape for that. Yeah. And then also she did Les Mis with one of my best friends in the world.
I was also in for Dreamgirls.
Yes, she was. She was.
I wonder why you didn't get it.
I wonder why
I
didn't
get it. Who beat you out for that one? Oh my gosh. Yeah. Well, that's the best segue. Thank you for that musical segue. That's going to lead us into our icebreaker game. We like to start off our show with a game. And today we are playing the six song challenge.
Oh boy.
Here's how it's going to work, ladies. I am going to provide you with a word. We'll start with Carrie. Yeah. I'm going to give you a word. Carrie, you need to come up with a song that has that word in it. Give us a little phrase of that. And then whatever word Carrie ends on, Bree, you got to find a song that's got that. You only have 6 seconds to come up with a song. And
does it have to be
around.
From six?
It does not.
Okay,
should
it can
not
be any
from
song.
Six, any song at all. The only bonus is that if it's a show tune, you get an extra queen point.
Oh, gosh.
And those are good for absolutely
Me and show tunes, though.
Love it. Yeah. Let's go.
We'll talk about that. All right. Okay. So I'm going to give you an easy one to start off with. Hopefully we can get through two rounds, and that'll be six songs.
Great.
Here is, oh, God, I'm so excited, the six-song challenge. Mm-hmm. Carrie, the word is heart.
Oh, God. You're a heartbreaker, dream maker, love taker. Don't you mess around with me.
Me.
You're
that's a good one. Me.
And her name is me. She loves me more than I'll ever know. Ooh. And I finally see that loving you and loving me just don't seem to work at all.
All.
All the men that I need.
Yeah.
He will me up.
Uh-huh. Yes! Yeah.
He me down.
He gives me
more
thumbs.
Love than I ever seen. Okay. All the men.
Need. Men. All the men that I... We can go with man. I'm good with man.
Man?
Man, sure.
Oh,
man.
Oh, my man, I love him so. He'll never know. All my life is just despair, but I don't care. When he takes me in his arms, the world is quite all right.
I like right for a song. Right.
Oh.
Yeah.
Ooh,
that's hard.
Let me be your right, starting here tonight. Let me be your right hand.
Oh, shit.
Man, let me be your right hand.
Man. Oh, which man. Puts us back to man.
Man.
On Brennan. Is
now
this
I
a
can't
theme?
Get my man out of my head.
Do you want to go with the word right? I'll give you the word right.
Yeah.
Right.
But still, I'm thinking, oh, my man. Man. Oh, my man. Isn't that still my man? That it's my man.
You could start with the man in the mirror.
Okay. Am I phoning a friend on that one?
Yeah, I don't know.
I phoned a friend.
Your friend.
I'm starting with the man in the mirror. Oh, yeah. Asking him to change his ways.
Thank you for my.
And that's where we'll
I literally
end.
Had my man emblazoned.
Yeah.
That's because it's checking all the boxes. All the words are in there.
But also, Bad Musical Theater Girl. What show is that one from?
That's from Something Rotten. I am over here being gay to help you with that. Not that. No.
No. I know. Mine was from. No. What was Carrie's?
Mine was Funny Girl.
Yeah.
There we go.
I thought you didn't know
what
right hand.
No. I knew. I loved that.
Oh. Okay. Yeah.
That was one of those ones that I saw twice. But.
Absolutely. Also, bonus points double. Man in the Mirror. I'll give it to you because it's also a show tune.
Yes,
now.
It is.
Yes,
with
it is.
MJ the Musical on the boards. Isn't it amazing? All of our favorite pop songs have become. Did you the conga? Is a show tune now. My gosh, put that in, sing that in choir.
You know, it's, you know, what's going to be next is like Gangnam Style is going to be, you know.
We are moments away from Gangnam Style, the musical. So you're all new in six now. Did we all go in at the same time? I feel like we peppered in. We folded it in like the cheese.
Yeah, because Brennan and I, we did one set of auditions together.
All right.
Yeah, that was, I think, my yeah, that was fall. That was my first dance audition. That was when we finally got to do in person. Mm. Yeah, that was my first set of in-person.
How much of that had to be a self-tape? How much of this?
I did my first, I started this journey in March of 2020.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Like, literally, my first audition for Six the Musical was canceled by the pandemic.
Uh-huh.
And so I sent my first tape, early April 2020, and I had to film it on my porch outside because everyone in my household had COVID.
Oh, wow.
I was in Cats. At the time, I toured with Cats, and we were in Toronto at the end of 2019. And yeah, so it had to have been November, December of 2019. And I was in my dressing room. I was like, I got to find somebody who can play. And luckily, we had amazing people in our pit, amazing musicians. And I found a guy that was a local guitar player in our pit. And I was like, will you play a song for me in my dressing room so I can send for a self-tape? He's like, yep. And so I think by the time I heard that I did not book the tour in November of last year, I had had 15 or 16 auditions for this.
No way. I'm going to just say it. That's too many.
That's
too many.
My lips are sealed on that one.
Well, that's at some point they've got to start paying you for that. That's just a personal opinion moment for me.
Call equity.
Yeah.
Honestly, though,
that takes me back to like the Rent days. Do you remember when they used to do that to people in Rent, and people had to go in like 25 times, and they eventually had to pay them?
Yeah.
But that was your first answer, was just so you know you didn't get the tour.
Well, I had been in for. I mean, I really truly do believe that intentions were beautifully good. I think that they were just trying to find a place where I had always been in for Jane. I had never been seen for anyone else until I think that they were like, no, we really like this other girl, Jasmine, who's on the road right now. Absolutely stunning. We really like her for the role of Jane. Do you want to come in and get this for Cleves?
What?
Really?
So I gave them like
curveball,
like Banks and Charlie XNX or whatever her name is, XCX. Whatever. I don't know her name.
Whatever Charlie XCX is.
I gave whatever. Sure. And I went in once or twice for Cleves, and they were like, not a good fit. And so they were like, no. And then all of a sudden I got a call in February of this year, 2022. Can you start rehearsals tomorrow? We need you for
tomorrow.
Medical leave.
Oh, so you were able to, you bounced a little bit.
I did. I think it was 10 or 13 weeks as Jane Seymour while Abby needed to be away.
Yeah.
And so it was an amazing introduction to the show. I got to meet everyone. I got to work with most of the original cast members.
Uh-huh.
And it also just gave me, I mean, I knew that it had an expiry when I went in.
Right.
And there was absolutely no, we knew Abby was coming back, as she should.
Yeah.
And there was no... I never knew that I was going to take over once Abby decided to leave. I had no idea. I just had to treat it like it was that amount of time.
Sure.
It was a good lesson for me. And this time around, when we all started together, I felt much more confident and in my skin than I did the first time. So very rarely do you get a second chance to do something like
this.
So It's worked out beautifully.
You get to bring a lot more know-how and a little bit more confidence in making
own. I realized all the mistakes I had made the first go around, and I was like, I actually strangely have a second chance at this. This is wild.
I
took every chance I could.
Two things. I love that you were in for Cleves. And
I know, right?
I want footage. Having seen you do Seymour, it's wild to me because you're so beautiful in it. Your voice sits in that song so.
I love singing it every
beautifully.
Night.
I would have guessed Parr, not
that
Cleves.
Is,
that's yeah. incredible.
But that you had that many auditions and then a one day turnaround phone call.
Fate.
That's,
let me tell you.
That is great. When, tell me, when did you all first see the show? Did
only
you see the show before?
Rehearsed. I had never seen, crazy, actually, when I did Dreamgirls in 2018, was it 2018? Yeah.
Let's say that's right.
2017, sure. 2018? Yeah.
Time doesn't matter after the pandemic.
I have no idea.
Pandemic.
From pandemic on,
the time
I don't
and space
know.
Continuum?
Yeah,
2017,
it's gone.
2017.
Sure.
Yeah.
We'll go with that one. One of my dressers came into the room one day and was like, there's a show called Six, and I think you could have a cheeky time.
A cheeky time?
That was a terrible accent. Don't know.
That's right on, yeah.
Anyway, that was the first time I ever heard of Six, because he came into my dressing room and would play the soundtrack incessantly. And I just kind of like, I didn't really think too much into it. So from that time on, I'd never seen it until I would say we rehearsed for a total of 4 weeks. I would say the second week I went to see the show for the first time.
Is that true for everybody? For
same. I didn't get to see it until, we went together, and it was, during our second week.
Second
it was the beginning
of
our second week of rehearsals was when I got to see the show. Yeah.
Was that a hindrance to you, or was that empowering because you didn't have things built up in your mind?
I'm definitely the type, like, I kind of don't want to see things at first to psych myself out. So I think, I was at a place where we had made a huge, we had learned a huge chunk of the show. So watching it didn't feel so daunting of like, I need to learn all of those very meticulous steps in a short amount of time. So it felt so much better because like 2 weeks in, we had learned a decent amount.
We had learned the first number, which is 7 minutes long. So.
Yeah.
So I felt like I wouldn't have watched it if I didn't feel I was ready to see the magic that was up there that I would be soon learning and downloading into my
software
being.
System. What was your impression of the show when you saw it?
I actually saw it after I had not gotten the job. And so it was very clean slate for me. I was very at peace with not booking it. Truly, I was. Everything happens for a reason. And I went to go see the show with a few friends, and I was sitting there and I was like, man, I really want to like not want to do this show because I wanted to, I was like, I don't know that I will do this show. At that point, I was like, I don't know that I will do this show. And I mean, but I was like, this is amazing because I am at the time, I was also and still am trying to have a music career outside of theater. And so this was amazing because I was like, wow, this is a concert.
Yeah.
This like has such a crossover audience and a crossover reach that I was like, this is unique in many, many ways because it's all of these six women that are all shining in their very individual styles. And that's very rare. And yeah. I was so excited. And the lights and, I mean, the sound design. I mean, can we just talk about the sound design?
Ooh, baby.
Forget about it.
That sound design is lit. Like, let me tell
you. It's so smooth. It's so clean. Every time you guys break into the six, the harmony is just, the sound and the balance of it is unbelievable.
I mean, I always forget that it is designed the way it is because we, in our in-ears, we only hear the raw vocals and the raw track. We don't hear all of the effects and the echoes that you guys hear in the audience. We hear none of the reverb. We hear nothing. That's why I'm always having an in-ear out when I'm singing Heart of Stone because I've got to hear my environment.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I pop them out after our opening number. I pop mine out and I do the whole show with one in-ear in and one out because I cannot.
Mariah Carey.
Well, let's talk about that for people listening because that is a really unique thing that it does not happen in
this
Broadway shows.
This was so unique.
To have that as recording artists and major concert artists have is the in-ear monitors that you've got in. And I do remember watching the show the other night. And noticing, Brennan, that yours was out. And then there was a time when you're like, now this baby's going back
in. I full Mariah Carey because I love that element. I love the element because similarly, I've come from, before I did any of this, I've always been a singer first. And I actually did wedding singing and we had to use in-ears. So it's like, you never know why things show up just to prepare you. But I thoroughly enjoy the in-ears, but there are some moments just so I can hear myself a little bit better. I do have my system where I pop one out. So I can in real time hear what's going on. And also sometimes with the in-ears, one thing is that the first time we wore the in-ears for us was our put-in rehearsal.
Oh, wow. So the put-in rehearsal is always so jarring in every way.
So sometimes it can be, I don't know, Carrie and I talk about this all the time. There's a lot of stimulation on the stage, just full transparency. So sometimes just having one element, like taking out an in-ear, just grounds you a little bit more because there's so many, the lights and the just like the sheer aesthetic of the show with our costumes. There's a lot of like sensory overload. We were talking about this in your favorite House of Holbein.
Oh, where you can't see
that
anything.
It's just like
that's what she was saying. Brennan was telling
me. It's the blind number. I call it my blind number. And funnily enough, speaking of the in-ears, I actually lost my in-ears at the last show.
Oh.
Yeah, like I went, so I guess apparently somewhere in my contraption of costume, my cord to my in-ears and the pack that we wear severed, like full-blown, not like just unplugged, like full-blown severed.
Oh, no,
but
so it's not there at all for you.
What happened was in my ears, I'm in the middle of the dance number, and all of a sudden it went dark. Like that was basically, it was like my sound went out. So as far as I knew, my mic wasn't working, and there's no way for us to stop because we're in the middle of a six minute number.
Yeah.
And it was, funnily enough, if you had asked me 4 weeks ago before we had started performances, you know, doing a Broadway show without those in-ears, I'd be like, yeah, that's normal. That was actually the weirdest show to do because I was like, I'm so used to having my sound and my count offs and everything in at least one of these ears. I'm checked in a very different way. But actually doing it full-blown Broadway live was like, this is different. This is not the show where this feels normal to do it that way. And this is my second time having to do musical theater with in-ears in.
And I wonder, moving forward,
Jesus
if you
Christ
next...
Superstar Life. Oh, yeah.
Oh, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder, going forward, though, if it'll be another adjustment back to not having them in, whatever happens after this.
It will be, I think, but I think the difference is the other way, which is why our sound design is so amazing, is that it is mixed strictly for the house to hear.
Yeah.
And so there's no monitors on stage for us. So
it's all in there.
It sounds completely different. Like even with me just listening, only having my own ears as opposed to having the in-ears, all I'm hearing is what is happening out there in that house. So it was literally, I was like, I am trusting that I know what every rhythm is supposed to be, and I'm keeping my head on a swivel with the rest of these women to make sure that I am on step with y'all, because it's not mixed for us to hear.
It's
gotta
feel
stage.
Out of body then.
Yeah, it
when
is.
You unplugged like that. Going back to the audition process, because you mentioned going for Cleves, which that's gonna do me good for a very long time. Was it specific for the other two? Of which queen you were going in for?
I've always been Team Par.
You've always been Team Par.
That was my girl.
That's what they associated with you, or did you say that's the one I want?
Oh no, that's just what came up.
Yeah,
that's just always what's come up from the beginning. And I feel like it is the right. I mean, I sometimes I'm like, I'd like to be Seymour, maybe. That seems
I
like
would
that
love
be,
to play Par.
We can switch. I think we can do Pokemon card trading.
Just do it in rep.
He's like, I'm happy where I am.
Yeah. I mean, okay. True story. We've had this discussion before. So yeah. I was originally up for Jane Seymour
really?
And Aragon. My first tapes were me singing Howard of Stone. And
I would like to hear that.
Yeah.
I would like to hear that.
After hearing you sing it, I don't want to ever touch Heart of Stone ever again.
Oh
honestly,
my God.
Really and truly.
Absolutely
no,
not.
No, like, honestly, really and truly, I was like, yeah, that that's a fun idea, but they made the correct choice. as Holly would say, I respectfully decline. but I would actually, everyone wants to play Cleves. That would be a lot of fun. That's just like my inner little like bad bitch wants to be Cleves. But I think the queen that I would really want to have, like I would actually want to play, I think it is Boleyn. I think
I
would want Boleyn. That's the one that
really?
I would want. Yeah.
Wow,
I think Bo would be the one that I would be like, give me her because she's fun. The sass, the comedy, the like coming in and out.
She's so
cheeky. She's got
cheeky.
All those zingers. She's got all the.
And then the rock punchy. Song. Like that rock song is everything. Savvy not savvy
that what I would like to hear. I would like to hear you sing that because it would just be so different.
Yeah.
And I would love it. That's one of the greatest things about this show is that the songs are not for any particular voice
it's
type.
True.
They were all inspired by very specific singers, but they are very, there are no boundaries. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
True.
Yeah, you're not locked into it has to be this type of voice to sell the song. Mm-hmm. Tell me about the rehearsal process once you're in there. What goes down? And
Paul
also
Queen's
going into
camp.
A show that exists already, very different rehearsal process than creating a show from the ground up.
I will say that the audition process was a great insight as to what the rehearsal process might be.
How so?
Because I feel that the audition process was quite rigorous. The first round when I went in the fall, so I started last year 4 auditions in a row, like one day, then callback, then the next day. But it was, we learned 3 dance numbers, did the par monologue, did the song, swapping in and out of rooms to get notes with, you know, Roberta, our musical, our associate.
Supervisor.
Mm-hmm. So that was already a start as to what was to come. And then when I auditioned again, I didn't get it that round. So last fall I had auditioned for the tour and Replacements. I didn't get it. Went back in December and didn't get it again. And it was the same thing of like
truly an
days.
All-day affair.
Totally.
Wow.
Multiple
really?
Days.
Marathon.
Multiple, multiple days. Mm-hmm. But I will say, moving forward to the rehearsal process, we kind of already knew some of the choreo, which was kind of nice.
Yeah, the
a
3
little
numbers
bit.
That we touched, it was nice to know those
kind
sections.
Of new.
Yeah.
But I will say, like, we definitely hunkered down. We're still in Six Land, but we were definitely eat, sleeping. We were there around 10 to 11, and then until maybe 5, 6?
6, usually.
6 p.m. every day for 4 weeks. And we went, started from the top, started from the very beginning.
Now, did you get to do a lot of this together, or were you kind of separated?
So it was, so me and Brennan and two and of our fabulous Alts. Alternates, yeah. Holly and Ayla, the 4 of us, we started all together at the same time. Mm-hmm. And then they brought
Carrie came in, like, 2 weeks in.
Yeah.
She was in Malta, honey.
Yeah, she was living.
She was
it
living.
It is interesting,
also
though.
Our rock. She was our rock.
That was a
she
unique,
was our heart of stone. She
it was.
Was
a unique place to be because I had already, my rehearsal process was vastly different. When I came in, when I went in the first time, Joy Woods and I went in together. She was par prior. She replaced Anna. And she and I went in together, but not in our own space. We were rehearsing with the Aragon tour.
Oh, interesting.
So they were because they were a fully fledged cast.
Right.
They had like the setup, but Joy and I
were kind of on the outskirts going.
We were on the outskirts. We were in the back learning the choreography, not knowing where we were supposed to be ever.
Wow.
And then our amazing dance team would take us into the other room. We were at a new 42 and we had the entire floor, and we would, like, the 4 of us would, Joy, myself, and then Eliza and Glur would just kind of fill in where we needed to fill in. Joy and I only had 2 weeks to learn the show.
Oof.
Jesus Christ.
Oof.
And not only did we only have 2 weeks to learn the show, we had 2 weeks to learn the show in such a fractured way.
Jesus.
Oh, yeah. And it's a steam train
of
a show.
Yeah, and we're going into like an already formed cast that knows the show like the back of their hand. And so it was extraordinarily intimidating. Joy and I have a very unique bond in that was we
survived Nom.
We survived it. We survived it. And so coming in this time around, having like I was still messing up in the show my first go around, even before, like right before I left. Like that, it's such a fast paced and in every way.
All it takes is 1 second.
Yes.
And I think audiences don't realize that when they see the polished final product. They don't realize how fractured a rehearsal process can be and how what a deficit you're playing against.
Mm-hmm. And that's why I was so envious. I was like, oh my gosh, they're getting to learn the show in order. I was like,
boy, what would that
wow.
be like?
I can't imagine. I mean, honestly, even with our 4 weeks, because one of the unique things about it is that, like you said, it's a concert. But and so they're calling all of Broadway's singers, like all of us are rolling in like ready to sing our faces
sure.
off. But baby, this is a dance show.
This is exactly where
this
I wanted
is
to
a
go next.
Dance
because we
show.
Started talking about this before we got on.
And so it's like I can't believe you learned it in 2 weeks because 4
learned
weeks
it is a very loose term. Learned it.
Barely
I was
enough.
Familiar.
You received information.
You received information
very
for 2 weeks.
It is. It's fast. It's intricate. Yeah. There's direction changes. And sometimes you can't see.
And
when
it
you're
doesn't
flopping.
Repeat. That's the other thing. Like, that's the one thing that is like extremely terrifying about this show is that there is nothing that actually repeats. If you're singing the same phrase, you're singing different lyrics. If you're singing the same chorus, there's a note different. There's a different line in it. Mm-hmm. If you're doing a dance step, there's going to be something
slightly
different.
I don't even sit with that information because that will actually make me feel even more, it's like more daunting to actually hear. I'm like, let me
Welcome
just do it.
Anxiety. Yeah.
What was, for each of you, what was the most challenging part dance-wise? What's the most?
The whole thing.
Yeah, yeah. It was just, I think just.
Does it take up more of your brain space, your bandwidth when you're out on stage? As you know, obviously we're saying the baddest bitches in town are coming in to sing for this show.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, you guys.
I just think that the pacing of the show, getting some of the stamina.
Yeah.
And again, just receiving a lot of information. And I think even aside from just the movement, our numbers and our spike marks and our positioning is so meticulous too, that it's not just two, it's like 2.5. Like you're healing the blue X, or your toes are on the purple X. It's those little things that started to make me go a little bit, woo.
That was the hardest part for me. Yeah. I mean, the hardest number for me is choreography wise is Don't Lose Your Head, because it takes a lot of coordination.
Yes.
But the overarching dancing challenge is not the choreography. The choreography spans genre also. Mm-hmm. It's not one style of dance.
No.
Yeah, we're doing a minuet and then we're doing hip hop.
Each queen, we change styles for each queen.
Yeah.
It was the stage positions for sure.
The marks.
Because you're also like not wanting to look down. You are also having to have a microphone that you will not be heard if you don't sing into that.
You have to have it at a specific.
Like the head's on eight, but oh god,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
It's a lot of like the dexterity, because your mic also has to be at a certain
patting your
angle.
Head and rubbing your tummy.
You won't be heard if your mic isn't touching your bottom lip. You're out of your special if you're not crotching the blue. Yeah, crotch
literally.
The blue X.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's all of these other things that like the elements. So it was just once we kind of got through that. That's when you're like, okay.
Which you never know until you're in the space. You know? You never know. You can be in a rehearsal room and feel perfect about the show. And once you're on set, like, surprise.
That's why I would
and
say
that's the deal with the pudding, right? You're up there and you're like, well, in my imaginary world, three was over here.
I mean, and that's then the other thing is like put the costumes on and three becomes a different thing when your skirt takes up. 2.75, you know, numbers.
Yeah.
So you're literally like, okay, I'm supposed to be on the pink X, but it needs to be like actually the lip of my skirt has to be on the pink X. So my body is actually going to be a little bit more towards purple, I think.
Yeah, I think the pudding was definitely a day.
And then it was
like, because that was the first time we really had all the elements.
Yeah.
On the stage, lighting, costumes, in-ears, you name it. But then I would say, you know, in the opening, our first night of performances, already, for me at least, and I'm sure you guys can relate, the audience element just adds a whole other layer that you can't even prepare for.
The adrenaline.
The adrenaline. It's the energy output.
Uh-huh. Because once again, very rare, there's no fourth wall. No
yeah, we're supposed wall. To talk to you all. And so it's like literally we were told, even in our auditions, that like it is... you're supposed to like make eye contact with somebody.
Yeah,
this is your biggest
fan.
And so half of the opening number, when we have those few moments to actually look at the audience, we're literally identifying who we may talk to, who we may choose, who might be engaged enough to be that person for us to work with. Yes, we're literally hunting which section. I hunt each section. I'm like, okay, I need someone in this one, and this one, and this one, and this one. All right, and go. Welcome to the show.
Yeah.
But I will say, to get to the point, and I'm going to be really cheeky and really nerdy and say badass monarchs, because once we get to this place... Regardless, we've all done such a myriad of different shows. And, you know, when you do a show, you're like, am I ever going to get this? And then when you get to that point where we are actually doing it, it's like we just opened up a whole other like neural pathway of our creativity where it's like we just are ready for the next thing to come. Like,
well,
you just
I think
feel
we're just open to receive.
Open to
that
receive.
That sounds so lame.
No,
but
it
like,
doesn't.
I remember, you know... I felt like I was somewhat prepared my first go around. This second go around, I was like, I know the show. I know the people. I kind of understand the quirks. However, I came to rehearsal 2 weeks late. I was recording an album in Malta, and I was like, I need an extra 2 weeks. I come back for two more weeks of rehearsal. I was like, this will be great. I end up getting COVID.
Yeah.
Oh,
so I had like 2 days of rehearsal. Yep. I was out. And then I come back to rehearsal for 1 day. And then they need an emergency. They need me to emergency swing into Abby's role one night.
You were just
before I was supposed to debut. So I was like, okay, well, it's really amazing though how the mind works, because I had never run the show since I had been out of the show. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, I will just see. I will see what stuck. Uh-huh. I will see. And even when you feel like you are prepared, there are certain areas where you're like, I thought I was prepared for this. I messed up there, but that's all right. Whatever. Places you thought you were going to mess up, you nailed. It's just like, and that's kind of the challenge you take on every single night you step on that stage. You have no idea what is going to happen.
It's so true.
There is no way out but through. It is. You gotta,
As I tell people, like, once I'm in that building, I'm pretty much incommunicado. Like, it is very rare that I have enough time to be on my phone to talk to anybody or do anything other than getting into full-blown queen. It's like, once I'm there, it is paint time, and now let's stretch, and now let's warm up, and now let's get dressed, and okay, let's strap up, and now let's go pee, and now let's go get in battle armor, and we're off, and it is a 7-minute number, and we're going.
Tony winning battle armor. Is there in this, how long did it take you into your run? Are you still playing? Did you feel like, okay, the body and the mind, I know it's still growing and still evolving, and every night is different, but how soon into it do you start to feel like, okay,
I would say
I trust myself to get to three and to put my left hip on four?
I felt really not the best after the first week. And then everybody collectively in the building was like, give yourself a full week, Brennan. Mm-hmm. Just give yourself a full week. And I do, not that it was perfect, but I do think something just clicked that after I did a full week, something clicked on that final show on the Sunday. And I felt less gripping.
I think I remember that show. I think I remember that show because I was watching you sing and you had never been that on. I was like, wow, but she's letting go. Oh. She's letting go a little. She's feeling you, and you could, your actual internal freedom manifested in your presentation of I Don't Need Your Love. Oh. It was, you were on the center of every pitch, which is so hard to do in that song in particular.
Yeah.
I have mad respect for that song.
Beast.
But I think I remember that show, and I do remember you coming off stage, and you're like, that one felt so much better.
Just a little bit more surrender, and especially a show like this that is, as you said, breaking the fourth wall. You have to be present, but it's that battle of being present but not getting lost in the real time, because then we have cues and lines.
Right.
So
you've got to do the science
I felt
part.
That maybe that first week, I was like, okay, a little more momentum, a little bit more trust in myself. A little bit more presence, a little bit more grounding. And that's honestly all I can ask for. I think and just grace, showing up with so much grace and patience on yourself. And that was kind of my mantra throughout the rehearsal process of just, I definitely had days where I came home and had a nice little cry, nice little detoxifying tear or two.
Yeah, but it's cry necessary. And a shower beer. It's nothing better.
I love a shower beer.
Shower beer.
I love a bubble bath.
But it's so
with a
necessary.
Bottle of wine, a glass
but
of wine.
You needed that. You need to go, you know, the ebbs and the flows, and trust in yourself and trust in your mind and your body. And also just like, you wouldn't be here if you couldn't handle it.
For sure.
So.
And you're the one doing the job.
Right.
Every lady in town wanted this particular job, my friends. That is the God's honest truth. And that's something to carry with you. I'm really interested in what you just said about feeling that moment when Brennan kind of opened up.
Oh, yeah.
Do you have a very, as you get more comfortable with it, a sense of where your other actresses are, your other queens? Can you feel when their energy shifts from night to night?
I'm also very like empathy, so I'm very big on like there's some times where I literally when we're running off after Heart of Stone and I just have to tap her and be like, sing,
she
bitch.
Does. I feel like we have those songs where we're just sitting.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. But like, for instance, for Bree's song, we're dancing. So sometimes I can't even, first of all, I will get so distracted if I just listen to Bree singing.
Oh my gosh,
if she does a riff, I will lose my shit. So I have to just like almost tune her out so I don't actually get to hear her because I'm like trying to make sure the dancing.
I'm so glad the choreography stops when you go, no.
Literally.
I was like, thank God we get to stand still for that.
See, and I don't get to stand still at all during my numbers. So no, right. I have zero, I literally have zero concept of what I look and sound like in my number. My doing my number is truly on faith every single night because I have no idea. And I have no real way of knowing other than the audience's response afterwards, but I have no feedback for my number, and I'm the first one right out of the gate after we're teaching you this new style of how this show is going to go. So Yeah, to your question before, I'm still working on feeling settled. I think about like week three was when I started feeling like, okay, I don't need to do a war cry every time I make it through the show. Okay. There was one show where like we came out of the room and I was so happy because I'd had a good dance show. And our choreographer was there to see it. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And so we came into our dressing room and I was like, I did it!
Like guttural.
Full blown, yeah. Like roar from my
soul. Inner primitive
warrior
woman.
Because I was like
woman.
So happy to finally like have a dance show that I felt great about. But when it coming to the question of like, do we have those moments? I think we just sometimes it just comes out of us. I know I'm very like it the church in me comes out, uh-huh. Like my inner black woman comes out, and Bertha just jumps out of me. And so
is it Bertha?
Bertha. Yeah, she's
the church lady that's coming.
She's an indiscriminate age. She may or may not have a gun in her purse, and she exclusively wears caftans and church hats.
I see it.
Coming
I see
to a podcast
her.
To you
her.
In about 30
well,
years.
I think to yeah. your point though, that's the trick bag with the show, because like maybe one day you have a great vocal show, but then you don't have a great dance show, but then mm-hmm. your dancing was really strong, but then you're off on the mark. So it's just like little things like unravel. So like when you have all those, when it all melds together, yeah. you feel really, really good. You're like, okay, so, the pieces to the
like,
puzzle.
Like I yell at her on her during her number. She usually hears me. Like I'm that's when Bertha comes out, and I'll just be like, sing, go off, and everything else. I literally do it. And then behind you, I'm just praising the Lord behind you. Yeah. It's just always a hand like, ooh.
One hand is all.
It's just
yummy.
How, it's just tasty. It gets good to me.
It's a vocal show pony show. Yes. Yeah, you're there to show off to a certain degree, and that's kind of the conceit of the show, is trying to outdo each other. How much vocal freedom are you given? How much vocal freedom do you take? Come clean. How do you mix it up? Does Bertha make different choices time to time?
There is an understanding to it, because it does have to be in control and all of that. Now, there are some times where the spirit gets good and it just comes up out of you. I have been guilty of it. So, and that's also the beauty of live theater. Like, we're in live theater. You know, we're hoping to negotiate more freedom.
I think that there's a barometer. I think that it's like, okay, here are certain places that I, as an actor, trust myself enough to allow myself freedom. Uh-huh. Whether I get a note about it or not, I just kind of expect one at that. But there's some times where I'm like, for me, I need to do this. Yeah. For me, I need to do this. And I make sure that it does not affect anyone else.
There's the
amen.
Ticket.
That's the T.
If it doesn't affect anyone else, and as long as it is coming from an authentic place, I said this, I remember saying this in one of my very first auditions. I was like, I hope you're all right if I am not just doing vocal gymnastics for the sake of doing vocal gymnastics. I was like, that's not the singer I am. It's not the singer I want to be. And it's not something I want to do 8 times a week.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. I was like, all of my riffs, all of my sustained notes are either coming from a place of emotional authenticity, mm-hmm. which is very important for Heart of Stone in particular.
Yes. And you deliver that very well.
It comes from the need for technique. If I'm running out of air, I'm gonna riff down.
Yeah.
Because I would rather, you know, it's like you pick your poison type thing.
Yeah. You're gonna
land. And there's
the
certain riffs that I'm like, I get a note and they're like, we don't really want that there. And I'm like, fantastic. I will make sure that I do not do it when you're watching the show.
Absolutely. But when my man's in the audience, he likes that one. Yeah. He's gonna get it.
She said, well, exactly. I think yeah. it's a lesson in how to distribute creativity.
Yeah, discretion.
And I think there's something beautiful, even for Carrie, the fact that you are creating your own art outside of the show.
Yeah, that
is incredibly powerful, because sometimes I think being an artist is so intimate, and mm-hmm. it comes from such an impulsive spiritual place mm-hmm. that
personal.
We forget there's also, it is a business too. It's a tight ship, you know? Mm-hmm. So we have to respect everyone else's. This is everyone else's baby,
yes.
just as much as it's ours.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
So I think it's truly the lesson in like understanding that's a collaboration. But when I do my own music, like, I think that's wonderful.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I get to riff and run and scat.
Or
and,
not.
Yeah. Or not.
Not. Yeah.
Or no vibrato. And mm-hmm. I think it makes you appreciate those moments where you are with your own, literally like you're in, like you have your own little you know, paintbrush, and you get to just splatter the paint anywhere you want, and it just feels that much more liberating.
Yeah, so, and I definitely want to touch on the respect part of that, because
absolutely,
this show is not about any one of us singularly.
No.
Exactly. Very much so that. Mm-hmm.
And it's like, yes, it is a competition. We set it up as a competition, but the end result is not that. And that's kind of, while there is the spirit of competition, it's all very, we all support each other in real life.
Very much so.
Totally.
And you are right, Brennan. It's like, I definitely, the first go around, I was very, very stubborn. I was like, why aren't they letting me do? I was just so stubborn. And then I realized that I was fighting the wrong battle.
Mm-hmm.
I was fighting the wrong battle because I was fighting people that had there are a reason that they want it done a certain way, because it works.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It works. Companies have been doing certain things a certain way because it works.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so here I am. I don't know who the hell I think I am, that I'm like, I'm going to be the one to make it different. I am going to be the one that makes Jane Seymour sexy. And I'm like, well, that's
sexy. You do.
That's not her mode of operandi. That's not her MO.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah.
And so I had to have respect enough for the process, for my castmates, for my creative team, for my audience, to let them fill in the gaps that Jane Seymour has a very specific archetype, but she is a complex person.
Mm-hmm.
And I needed to trust the audience enough to let them kind of do that, as opposed to try and be everything and spoon feed you everything like you don't have a working brain in your head.
And then you just go home and you're in your living room as the exhibitionist that you are, riffing your head off. And you're like, that's me.
Yeah, I love the way you put it, because I'm very, when it comes to singing, I'm very much so like that. Like, people know me as a riffer, but I mean, Ben, you can even tell.
Yeah.
Like, there are times where I straight up am not riffing anything through a song because it's more important about what the words are saying, and what the delivery of just singing it straight as is so much more important and so much more impactful.
Mm-hmm.
I just think in anything that you do, it's just important to have outlets all the time.
Indeed.
Because you need them. You need to keep the creative juices flowing. You need to be around other artists. You need to be that sponge. And especially when you're doing something 8 times a week, it is important to find your joy in other places.
Oh my God, you have to.
You have to.
But I do think that there's something to be said about the fact that, like, I think people think because it's a singing and a riffing, like a concert style show, that everyone is going to be riffing their heads off. And so and a part of the respect thing is that I love the fact that our creatives are not allowing it to turn into what some of pop Broadway has become, which is the riffing and high note gymnastics, which is unsustainable. And it is not the kind of art that we should be only aspiring to. There's so much more to the art form and to the art of singing than just being all over the place.
This I love, because I think to the layman viewer coming in, I think it'd be very easy for a young girl to walk away and be like, yeah, I just want to go up and belt and riff and blah, blah, blah. And all of that is built in there, but there is still so much story that needs to be told.
Oh, it's life.
In a genuine way. And the way that the show caps off, in this spirit of owning yourself and your and the sisterhood and the empowerment, is so key that you're not going to get there if you're not delivering the lyric in that way.
You also miss all of the really excellent, clever lines if you spend so much time riffing all over it. And I think that's sometimes what we forget. It's like, it's that, you know, like some of these lines, sometimes the way I like to think about when I'm doing, pulling a phrase or deciding if I'm going to riff on this note or whatever, what is the whole sentence? Will they be able to understand the sentence with my riff or without it? And that's one really great way to be like, then it's not necessary. It may musically feel good, but that is not what this is for. At this moment, I need you to understand this information. So what is more important, the information that I'm giving you or me having a good feeling because I got to do this really complicated riff?
Yeah.
People might raise their hands in the audience, but I mean, it's...
Which has to have its own, it's, that's
payoff.
It has payoff.
Its own place, but where do I want you to do it? Do I want you to do it because you've heard the whole song and now also I've given you a great riff? Or is it just because you're doing all of the riffs all over the world? They can go see Chris Brown for that.
Work. Sure.
You know?
Jason Derulo.
He went to AMDA.
He did go to AMDA.
Fun fact.
Hot take. You've kind of talked a little bit about this, but go back to being baby queens pre your Broadway lives. What, if you weren't fully ensconced in musical theater, what were you listening to? What were your musical cues and guidelines that you discovered that you could sing and kind of wanted to craft your voice after?
I played that Christina Aguilera Christmas album all year round when I was like, my kind of Christmas. I just came from the Christina, Whitney, Mariah. My mom played a lot of Barbara Streisand when I was little. My dad was Motown. My grandma was Ella Fitzgerald. I just had like
the greats, the
greats, eccentric musical palette. But when I was like in middle school, I'm just like a 2000s pop girl. Like I love those visual aesthetics. I love the outfits.
She loves the butterflies.
I love the butterflies. I do.
Our fairy queen.
Are you the fairy queen?
I just love Aaliyah, like her style. I like feel like I wish I was like 8. I don't want to give away my age, but whatever. But I wish I was like 18, 19 in the late 90s, 2000s, because I would have fully been in a girl group. Danity Kane. In the Pussycat Dolls. I think Nicole Scherzinger is absolutely one of the most underrated.
I totally agree.
Pop stars.
Love her.
Ever.
Yeah.
Like, I feel
have you heard her sing Memory?
She's incredible.
Hot Diggity Dog.
Have you heard her sing
anything?
At all?
Have you seen her in Dancing with the Stars? Like, I just love a pop star. Like, I
love
the Britney videos. I love the Christina videos. I love the Destiny's Child videos. I love Aaliyah. I love the. And then I loved Christina because I was like, she had the voice and then the outfits and the. Like, that was just my jam. Those were my girls.
That's awesome.
As somebody who was 18 or 19 in the late 90s, I can see all of that.
I mean, I grew up singing gospel. I'm a Detroiter, so I grew up gospel, Motown, all day, every day. But I was fortunate to be exposed to a lot of things, a lot of the greats and all of that. Like, my father was very big into you know, funk, and so I was listening to a lot of like the Gap Band and Charlie Wilson and Earth, Wind and Fire and you know, that kind of stuff, while also listening to a lot of old school gospel and, you know, new school Kirk Franklin and John P. Key and Donald Lawrence and Donnie McClurkin. And then as I got older, I listened to more pop music. My boyfriend now actually is the one who's got me listening to more hip hop. So that's fun because that I think that's where like my identification with Cleaves is coming more so, because it's like I listen to now Jay-Z and Cameron and 2 Chainz. Like, but
I'm gonna nod like I know like, who any of those people
like,
are.
It's so funny. No, it's really funny because not me. And then, but what I've been playing out has been Jasmine Sullivan and LMA. Those have been and Tems. I've been on Afropop and Soul for R&B all day. Give it to me, just.
How about you, Carrie?
For me, I've been a shapeshifter when it comes to me. I've never stuck to a single genre. So when I was very young, I always loved singing. I have been singing my whole life, but I couldn't really afford voice lessons as a kid. And so I was like, okay, so how do I become a good singer? So I would listen to Celine Dion.
Yep,
I'm a Celine Gay from way back.
She's number one. She touched my face one time.
What are you talking about?
Okay, I'm just going to take a brief recess. Okay, so when I was in Cats, she was touring her Courage tour.
I saw it.
Oh, so did I.
Yeah.
So did I.
Not savages.
And she came to see Cats in Toronto. She was touring in Toronto at the time. We had a mutual friend.
Also brings me to, you've seen her sing, you've seen Celine sing Memory in that crazy video on YouTube.
Dressed as a cat.
Dressed as a cat, just for everybody listening. Do yourself the favor.
She talked to us after the show. And this is one of the shameless plugs I will ever admit to. But it's very wild to meet somebody that you've admired your entire life. And not because they're a celebrity or because they're famous, but like you admire so much about them. Their resiliency, all of the things, their gumption, their ability to persist, and their kindness. And so when I met her, she touched my face and she said, "You have something very special. Please never stop."
Oh my God.
And I was like, well, it's not special because it's coming from Celine Dion. It's special because it's coming from somebody who has done it.
Yeah.
And who was actually saying that not because she had to or felt like she needed to be kind, but she actually truly meant it.
Oh, yeah.
And I have carried that with me for a long time because this segues back into what the question was. I grew up just making myself sound like her.
Yeah.
I grew up. That was my voice. Those were my voice lessons.
Yeah.
I feel like was listening.
Mimicking.
Yes. And same with Linda Eder. And then I went into my parents, very classical rock people, hence why I started with Heart. I mean, that was Pat Benatar help. But I was like enmeshed in rock and and then it gets into the Paramore, Fall Out Boy, Panic at the Disco era.
Haley
Williams.
One of the best
voices
ever. Ooh, she's good.
I mean, come on. She is so underrated.
Range.
And very experimental. She does not stick to a single genre either. But I went to conservatory for college, and I became fascinated with, like, philharmonic and symphonies and orchestral. I was listening to film scores John Williams and Hans Zimmer. And all of these things have come very full circle as my influences in the music that I want to write and have been writing and put into the world. Because I remember growing up being like, why is everything a love song?
Yeah, it is.
Why? And not because there's anything wrong with that. It is a love song about most things are a love song about physical gratification, about validation within relationship, in romantic relationships, all of these things. And I just realized when I sat down to start writing music, I was like, what do I want to put out there? It's not this, because the world has enough of that. So in Celine Dion, in Linda Eder, in all of these classic rock goddesses and gods, like, and in the symphony where there aren't words to describe feelings, I was like, I'm going to write music that I wish I would have had and been able to listen to when I was younger. And that's, you know, what I say today. I don't actually know what's going to happen or come out of my mouth later.
Sure. But we evolve and change in every day.
Yeah. So it's just like influences have grown and evolved and manifested into things that I could have never predicted when I was, you know, falling asleep to, like, My Heart Will Go On. Uh-huh. You know what I mean?
Waiting for it to come back on the radio.
Waiting,
again.
Just praying.
For me. So, Celine Dion, getting to see Celine Dion alive. One of her trumpeter's nephew was on my tour, and we stopped in Vegas, and we got to go to her show while she was doing her residency there. And that, her opening number, I started sobbing, and I was like, I want that.
Mm-hmm.
God, if that's where I want in my career to be able to do, because it was just so, the presence, and we had, you know, they had told us how she had stripped down the show and how everything had changed and how it was less backup dancers and less everything.
Right,
and
she went from the Cirque du Soleil thing back to
and it was just like
singer and microphone.
This woman is impeccable. She's impeccable. The technique
is crazy.
Like, it was literally, I was like, there are very few artists that you can go see live and they sound exactly like they're recording.
Yeah.
And without a shadow of a doubt, I know you are singing live. And maybe it's because we do our shows 8 shows a week, but I have a very big thing, like, you can't call yourself a full-blown singer until you can do it live. You can do it live,
Dolly.
Without, like, right? You know, and it's not like, oh, you have a bad live show here and there. We all have bad vocal days. But I mean, like, if you cannot perform live, if you can't do it without the backup of your track, baby, you're not a singer. You're a performer. You're an entertainer.
Vocalist.
But you are not a singer, because singers got to do it and
Are
do
you
it live.
Listening, God? Are you listening, world? Listen up. I love all of this because it makes a lot of sense that this project is such a great fit for you guys with, mm-hmm. with the influences that you have, and that you get to have this experience of doing theater while also it's kind of busted open what theater can be, right? That it mm-hmm. can be a concert and it can be theatrical and have an arc and a story and all the bells and whistles. It's really extraordinary, which is evidenced
in
the
fact. I
steal
from these two. Like, I literally, like, I listen to their voices and the way they place things, and it's like, I play with it because it's like, it's just so good. We play like little like birds in the hallway. Like somebody will sing a riff and somebody like, ooh, ooh. Yeah. Like back at each other. Yes.
That's all right. True.
We're running out of time. And I want to ask, within all of the harmonies throughout the show, is everybody set on a specific line, or do we all take the top line at some point? Somebody goes down, we mix and mingle to jingling beat. How does that I'm dying to know.
I've never been more grateful.
Because the mix is so good.
I've never been more grateful to be an alto in my life.
I'm sure. Yeah.
I get that cute middle line. I am middle line baby, and I love it.
I'm right there with you.
This is actually one of the first times where I'm singing the low line for most of it.
Oh, wow.
I call this like, this is an Effie show where you have to sing low, but you also need to be able to sing the high part when you need to, because there's like three occasions where I'm actually, weirdly enough, on the high line.
Okay.
And then my own number is, you know, above the staff. Yeah. So it's like, oh no, you have to, I can't warm up too much because I have to be able to sing my low notes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm in the middle and I'm happy.
I love that.
I mean,
do the show 8 times a week.
I'll never envy Sam and Andrea.
And they're
never
all the way.
They are.
Up
they are
there
rafters.
The entire time.
Yep, they are the rafter girls.
But you know what? That's a good 90-minute get her done.
Courts of steel.
Yeah,
courts of steel. Those two.
Well, I feel like you all have to. Do you find that? I know we're running out of time, but do you find that you have time to work on your music and your other things because the show is a shorter show as opposed to being in a show
it
that gets out at 11 o'clock at night?
Good. I remember I was on my couch at 9:30 one night.
Oh, dreaming.
And all of my friends that are in shows are just so jealous. I'm so sorry, y'all, but I did Les Mis.
Yes, you did.
It was 3 hours, so I deserve it.
You paid your dues. I've done Oklahoma. I've put in my time. I think really, right now, I'm still getting my queen legs. Like,
okay.
we're still like, you know, introducing ourselves as the new monarchs. We're still doing press. We're still, you know, like running around, still getting used to the thing and everything. But I think once everything kind of settles down, the new season, you know, Pandanimi is almost on its way out, I think then it'll just be like, oh yeah, this is one facet of what I do. And then I also have this other stuff that I'm doing.
Yeah, it's important. Again, those outlets.
The balance of life.
Yeah. The balance of life,
the
indeed.
Balance.
All right. Last question. Favorite moment in the show for you specifically. What's your favorite moment?
Right now it's hearing 4 or 5 more minutes.
I could see the joy in your eyes.
It's because it's the one time where we get to lock in harmonies. We're not dancing or anything else. We're standing still, holding on to each other, and get to be in this gorgeous, each of us on our own notes, 6-part harmony.
Mm-hmm. United front.
Yeah, it's like, and it just sounds good when we just all line in.
It does.
It does
I like
sound
the.
Good.
Oh no, you go.
You go, babe.
No, I was just gonna say I like the. Oh my gosh, what is the word? Rise above harmony, where we're like
the riff.
I just love that moment because it's just so unexpected and precious, and I like that. You know, you get to it's. Follows directly after that. It's right now, I just find so much joy in that moment. And also right before the mega mix when we're going in and we're just like having a blast.
Wow.
Uh-huh. I enjoy that.
So fun.
I like
it is
to,
irresistibly
it's
fun.
It's still in that portion of the show, but I really enjoy when we come together for the remix because there's something so powerful. We're like that united front.
Well, you get to visit where you've been, and now you've gotten where you're going.
Yeah, there's something. It feels incredibly like there's like a synergy that, or like this, like I don't know. There's like just this like powerful energy that we're conjuring mm-hmm. into all together.
Cute,
Henry.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm through. Hey, and maybe again, that's like the girl group in me, but I'm like my inner child is soaring.
Also, the top of Get Down. I notice how all of us, like, there's something that shifts with all of us when she, after she does Tragic, all of us are ready for that. Don't.
Let's go. Yeah. We're like all of our faces. There's feeling something about oats, it where baby. It's like all of us are just like, let's go.
You are feeling your oats, and the audience feels the oats. And I acted a damn fool at the show when I saw it the other night.
You weren't acting a damn fool. You were acting appropriately. For the
pod. Do you like that? You like the audience to react.
Yes. Please react.
That.
Don't record. Please react. Don't record. The reflective can phones are.
Stop it, you monsters.
Seeing your joy hyped, I was like, he's in it. I'm going to get
you. Yes, you do. Other people, that makes me, it makes me mad. I'm looking around at the other people. I'm in the middle of like a 14th headbang, and then some German three doors down is like, just sitting there observing, and that's not
liking
not
our
it.
House of Holbein accent.
They run the gamut. Yeah. They run the gamut. The audiences run the gamut.
They do.
It's so exciting though when I because everybody's literally on their feet and in their spirits on their feet. I could talk to you. I wanted to ask you about fans and Queendom and all that, but we're out of time.
We'll have to do a part two.
Too easy. We'll do a part two at some point.
Please.
This has been amazing. Thank you, ladies,
so much.
I remain your devoted fan and friend. And if you're listening to this, go see Six. Just do it. Do love yourself enough to go see Six.
Come on down.
Come on down.
Come
thanks,
ladies.
We love you.
Love you.
Thank you, Ben.
Bye, baby.
Thank you.
So there you have it. You got to go see Six. Want to say thank you to Bree and Brennan and Carrie Renee Fuller for being here with us. That was such a fun conversation, and it's such a fun show. Go and see Six. I know it's a great workout album, too. Go ahead and put that album on. Get on the Fancy Prancer at the Planet Fitness and live your best life. It'll fly by. All right, that's it for now. I want to remind you to follow us on social media at The Broadway Cast. You can find me at Ben Does Broadway. Subscribe to the show, rate the show, review the show, share us with your friends, tell somebody who's not listening to listen. And of course, if you want to support us to the fullest extent that is supportable, you can do it on Patreon. All you got to do is click the link in the liner notes. When you're a Patreon family member, you get exclusive content that we make just for you. So you can do that. All right, until next time, I remain your Broadway buddy, Ben Cameron, saying have a great show.
The world is full of magic and wonder, if you know where to look. And I'm obsessed with looking for it. I'm Simon Sinek, and I host a podcast called A Bit of Optimism. Each week, I have a short conversation with someone who inspires me or teaches me something about life, leadership, and other curious things. I hope you'll join me on the journey. Listen to A Bit of Optimism on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Snakes, zombies, sharks, heights, speaking in public. The list of fears is endless. But while you're clutching your blanket in the dark, wondering if that sound in the hall was actually a footstep, the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. And while you might think a great white shark is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Listen to the highly anticipated 100th episode of Tank and Jay Valentine's R&B Money Podcast with artist Chris Brown.
Even working with you from Kerry Hilson, Adonis, back in the day, I was 15, 14 doing that album. So like I said, I was in school okay, this is how you do it. This is how you make a song. There's a verse, a pre-chorus, and then a hook. I didn't know none of that.
You learned that over a summer, bro. That's what it felt like.
Listen to R&B Money on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.